G2, number 4B.
I give here another definition of Professor Amar. He's a professor at the Sorbonne in Paris, and he especially is interested in this question too from the point of view of sociology. And he defines it like this. He says, structure is the sum total of relationships. See, it's the sum total of relationships. It isn't just like in the word order, say, where you have just a relationship of mind to spirit and from spirit to soul, but it's the sum total of relationships which maintains, now this is very interesting, which maintains the communication between the different parts of the whole. In other words, he introduces into it cybernetics. He introduces in it communication. Well, what is communication? I mean, in the true sense of today, it isn't communication, I babbling on to somebody else. That's not communication. Communication and information is something which we have to see also in order to understand then cybernetics. But here you see already, you see, that structure is something much bigger than systems, than the placing together or just the intersection of categories. Here it is much more. It is the sum total of relationships which one has to take into consideration, which maintain the communication between the different parts of the whole. We can always feel that, say, when we talk about structure, that the characteristic, say, of structure is just interrelationships. Not just placing together, not just ordering things, not just categorizing things, but having interrelation, but not from one to the other part, but interrelationship which takes the whole and sees that in every part.
Can you see what that means for man? See,
if we consider man as idea, see, we consider man as idea and suddenly find man is structure and not just an idea, but man is structured idea. Therefore, so to say, the interrelationship of the whole which shows itself, the whole as me. The whole as the compound idea. And not just as a static one, because so it maintains the intercommunication of every part. And I feel it's a whole dynamic going on. A further point is what they always say, that it relates to an organically organized whole. If they say organically organized, they don't mean about organs, about bowels and heart and so on. Naturally, they mean that every part is constantly in movement, is constantly in operation, and yet each part plays not its own part. It's not just functional. It's not just functional, but plays its part as a part of the whole. What's the use of having a bowel if it doesn't? If I take it out here and put it here on the desk, it's still the bowel. Oh, sorry. That's the difference between England and Switzerland. I should have known that. But in England, one isn't allowed to talk about bowel. All right. Well, take a motor from a car, put it on the street. Well, it's still a motor of a car. And it isn't, because it isn't in the car. It's not integrated into the whole. But it works there very well. Only that it doesn't run. It's not integrated organically to that destiny or to that meaning which it is meant for. It suddenly takes on, if I
take it, if I take a part away from the whole, it still functions. But it doesn't function for the purpose it is done. It is there. See?
Well, we'll see that same thing when we go through the textbook and see, I shouldn't speak about it yet. Or one of the statements about structure, which is perhaps very helpful, it speaks about the numberless processes in the plural. The numberless processes work together in such a way that the stability of the structure of the whole is kept intact. See, that's it. If we could see, you see, that the numberless processes work together, that the process of the first chapter of the textbook, and the second chapter of the textbook, and the third chapter of the textbook, fourth chapter of the textbook, work together in such a way that the stability of the whole textbook, and the meaning of what the textbook is really here for, is kept intact. Then we have found the structure. Then we read the textbook as structure, and no more in a linear way, and therefore in a much bigger way. Naturally, when you have structure, you have structural laws, and so on, I think I just have to get on a little bit. I have put here, thank you, a few points which show the difference of the attitudes which we take if we approach anything, either structurally or atomistic. This is structural here in violet, this is atomistic. The structural has always the whole in view. You see, like little Gauss, he has the whole in view. The one who has atomistic consciousness is narrow-minded. He has just his little part in view. He's so concerned about his problem that he can't see the whole world. All that matters is his problem. All that matters is his own life. Hell, go to hell with the whole world, as long as I am safe. That's the narrowness. I cannot be saved. I cannot be saved without the world be saved, because I'm an organized part, organically integrated in the whole. Or the structural is that it considers structure naturally, that there's always that in you, whereas the atomistic is always engulfed in details. It's pedantic. By the way, these are not my because I have been asked, are these my interpretation? No, this is from Wertheimer, one of the men who has worked a lot on structure. And he has summed up, so to say, the attitude, the difference of attitude which we take as when it is structural or atomistic. Here we get pedantic, very pedantic. See, this is what I would call the filigram metaphysical work. This is metaphysical filigram work. Tiny, tiny little details. The structural isn't caring at all about the details. Like if I have to add one to all the numbers, 1 to 100, I don't care about the 2 up to 99. I only care about the 1 to 100. See, that's the pedantic. It's filigram, it's metaphysical filigram work, as I call it. The structural consciousness has always a new perspective. Ah, that's wonderful, you see. Because structure is constantly organizing itself and reorganizing itself. It's constantly has a new view. Never repeats itself. Never repeats itself. The other one is routine, repetitive. Goes over you do your beats, so that you have a beat, or something like that, you have a take. Always going over the same statement, always going over the same thing, and so on. Whereas in structural consciousness, you can't think twice the same. You can't.
It's always new, it's always different. And yet, it's still the same fixed category. There's that paradox that we have, the infinitely variable in variables. There are absolutely invariables in our structure. The invariables are our categories, the 7 and the 4 and so on, but they are constantly variable, because they are constantly organizing themselves differently by new intersection of their system. The structure has at its center always the whole, as I said, with the composer. Whereas the atomistic has at its center his little eye, his big personal eye. Looks out from the personal eye. Wertheimer says further, a very interesting thing for our practice, he says, the structural consciousness says only the whole has its own solution. Only the whole really has a solution. The atomistic is where we try to find a solution. It meets our own desire. Where we find our solution. Think of the practice, of the difference of practice we have only on this very point. This is what people want. This is what people want. This is what people want. They say, all I care is about my personal I and the solution of my personal desire. And the world can go to hell. That doesn't matter. Whereas the structuralist, he says, no. If I see the whole, then I find that solution for every part, that solution for every part, for every situation, which is fitted into the whole for the personal glory of the whole. It is then a solution which is organically one with the whole. And that's something very, very different than this, naturally, as we know. Well, this gives us a different attitude in practice and in a different attitude of how to approach any problem. So, in this way I feel I have perhaps tried to convey a little bit about the feel of structure. Now, from this, if we feel what structure means, then we come to what is called structuralism, the theory, so to say, of structure. And the structuralism is presented by many writers, and they say it like this, that structuralism, you see how practical that is for us, that structuralism is that method of procedure which transforms every problem into a structural problem. Naturally, see, if we want to solve our problem or a situation not as the with an atomistic consciousness but with a structural consciousness, then we have to take what seems to be a single situation, a single experience, a single problem, and have to see it not as a single but as a structural problem. We first have to we have to see it as a structural problem. Therefore, at least as a problem which has nothing to do with a fact and its counterfeit, but which has to do with the intersection of systems, resolving its counterfeit. So that I have said, even in geometry, you don't have a thing called a point. It doesn't exist. A point is an intersection of categories. And in the same way, one begins to see in psychology and everywhere, and really, we Christian scientists should know that even better, that a situation is not a fact, a single unit, called a problem. It is a very more complex thing. It is the counterfeit of a whole structure. Of one structure. Of the structure of the whole. And so, we go back to the whole and look at it. So, Professor Amar says, the object under consideration and its elements are now seen as points of intersections of now no more of categories like in systems, of intersections of multivarious systems of references. It's an intersection of multivarious systems of references. Now you look at me and think, what on earth does that mean? You know? Now at this point I just could feel I can't follow anymore. And you have done that since at least 25 years, if you have known something of John Dawkins, without realizing. But to make it realize, to make it conscious, is important. Or Elsman has taken it, and I will show it to you afterwards, and has taken it as something in a linear, in a way of system, and yet we should have seen structure. That's the point. I'm not saying something which you don't know, which you haven't, if you have studied with us for at least some years, which you haven't done, but perhaps which we haven't realized what it means and what it implies. Now, naturally, I need a lot of time to show you what is meant by this. A structuralism is that the object under consideration, say, is Zachariah, or the object under consideration is Matthew, or anything, or a problem. That the object under consideration and its elements are now seen as points of intersection of multivarious systems of references. So we will see, therefore, in order to get a warm feeling of structural consciousness, we must first again go over, tomorrow again over, what we have been doing all together since many, many years by asking ourselves, what were our systems of reference? What were the systems of reference? How could we order those systems of reference? And then when we have ordered those systems of references, we can take them and make a point of intersection. And then we see suddenly a book of the Bible or a subject in the textbook from a completely different angle, or from a bigger angle, or from a more comprehensive angle, or whatever we may call it. And we may see much more defined, much more concrete than perhaps what we have seen before. I think instead of going on and just starting with a subject which I can't finish, I think I better finish now.